This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Paul Christman, Vice President, Public Sector at Dell Software. And we're going to talk about identity management. We're talking about some issues that are pretty much in the news, talking about an award that DHS made, talking about governance and where Dell Software fits in all this. But first, you're listening going, well, geez, Paul Christman, I kind of heard him, saw him somewhere. Was he the guy in the wanted poster? Well, maybe not. Paul, tell us about your background, how you wound up with Dell Software, please.
Well, thanks, John. My background is in software, as you mentioned, and it's curious when I tell people I work at Dell. The interesting factoid that I tell folks these days is Dell is actually the world's 15th largest software company. Most folks think of us from our client devices, our desktops and laptops. But truth be known, Dell has, over the last 3 or 4 years, been diversifying and moving into complete solutions. And we view software sort of as the connective tissue between all of the hardware and services that Dell has to offer. So about 18 months ago, the company that I had worked for before, Quest Software, was acquired by Dell. And we're sort of the foundation anchor tenant, if you would, in the Dell Software Group. We're also surrounded by a series of other acquisitions that Dell has done. So that's how I got to Dell.
You know, I've had many guests on the air, and a lot of them said, hey, I'm just the right place, right time, and get acquired and move to there. And this is kind of the theme of your life, isn't it? You started off just as a young puppy, and all of a sudden got acquired and ramped up to a big company, huh?
And it's sort of been there, done that for me. Back in the day, I was working for a software company that some of your older listeners may know of and remember fondly, and I was with Lotus Development Corporation, the makers of 123, and we were really the sort of the forerunners to the PC revolution back in the 80s, and another large
initial killer app.
The killer app, yeah. And it was the killer platform as well. But another hardware company back in the day needed to diversify their portfolio, and Lotus was acquired by IBM. So it's a lot of parallels between that move by IBM in the 80s and 90s and what Dell is doing now. Different marketplace, different time, but a very, very sound strategy to provide single solutions for a customer, because that's what customers have always looked for, is fewer people and more solutions.
So for more information, you can go to quest.com, and then you wind up at the Dell site. Is that what happens? It's redirected
there?
Yeah,
we'd prefer you go to software.dell.com.
Software.dell.com. Yep. My listeners can click on that one.
Yep. And we're moving away from using the old Quest brand name. We're retaining the product families within Quest, but we're really moving to reinforce the Dell Software brand from all of the various acquisitions that have been done and the products that have been developed internally.
I'm one of those old folks, and I remember this thing called Toad when I first heard of Quest. Oh, Toad. Quest, Toad, that seems funny. But Toad, I think, was used with Microsoft, and my company is a Microsoft partner, and so I'm kind of familiar with tools that Microsoft has and other tools that are out there. And I guess this is the seed or the where it started growing with was monitoring operating systems and software, and then it grew into what you're doing now. Is that a good analysis?
Yeah, the Toad product family is one of those cult brand loyalty.
Well, it is. I remember it's like branded on me for some reason.
It's one of those things that keeps on delivering great value to the customer. It really is. It actually started as a tool for Oracle developers, and that's where the name Toad came from, tool for Oracle application developers, and that's how Toad got started. So then Toad went multi-platform, and so it started to work on SQL Server and other types of databases.
And then comparing it with something like MOM from Microsoft, it killed it.
And so those sorts of brands or those sorts of families of products are going to continue. So we'll still have Toad. And a lot of people back in the day thought of Toad as Quest. And we had to say, we're the Toad company, and we have all these other tools that we happen to do as well. But moving from database monitoring to other kinds of monitoring, we branched into looking at things like Exchange and Active Directory, other core key platforms.
And you spent some time with Microsoft as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you work with Reid Overfelt over there?
Yes, I did. And,
yes.
And a bunch of other people in the public sector group over there. My time with Microsoft was brief, and it was, just to put it in context, the launch of Windows 2000 was our big activity.
I spoke to Reid last week.
Mm-hmm.
And
in his new venture, he's moved on, and he's...
Yep. In fact, he just sold it, and he's really a tiger. But he told me that 3 out of 5 searches on Google are with mobile devices. And I said, well, is that... He said, oh, yeah, it is. So I'm thinking, paradigm shift, security, monitoring these things. I mean, this has got to be almost topic number one if we're talking about security, huh?
So security has to look at the platform. And if we look back to my early days in the transformation away from mainframes to PCs, this fundamental shift away from desktop machines into other mobile devices is just as significant. The real challenge we've got is how do we provide security for the data or the applications that are being used on a device that we may not control?
And I think that's the key to the topic today. We're going to talk about identity management, and I think you can't be a living and breathing human being without noticing mobile devices. And all of a sudden, that puts a little raised two above the problem because it multiplies it, doesn't it?
And I think what we've done is change the approach of security, of protecting the perimeter, to securing the information. It's a very different way of approaching things. This idea of we control what's inside the firewall, nothing leaves the firewall, that doesn't really work when you've got mobile devices all over the place running on commercial carrier networks. When you've got cloud application and data that you're consuming or maybe producing, all of those things make the perimeter very, very porous. It changes how the security technology has to operate.
Let's go back to the old time Lotus. Now, years ago, I'd have a desktop computer, and I would use a floppy drive, and I would run 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to a network, and it would sit in a server somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always in a network. Now, increasingly with mobile, you're not limited by a network. You're unlimited by a network, and you're not going to just go on between 9 and 5 Monday through Friday. You could be using your mobile device at 2 a.m. on a Sunday. And so that's why I think continuous monitoring goes in parallel with some of this hardware change.
Yeah, I would agree with you, John. And I think the idea of work as a place as opposed to work as a function, and that function can be done at any time, at any place, and now we're moving to almost on any device, work has now become something that is just interwoven into our lives as opposed to something we do sort of at a time and material sort
of approach.
It's
almost continuous. There's the word
again,
huh?
It's continuous. It's continuous. So we've got other challenges that have come up. The benefit of mobile devices and the security that comes with it is that sort of double-edged sword. And protecting data at rest on a mobile device is different than protecting data at rest in a desktop machine or even in a data center. Protecting data in transit's another issue. And then all of the security rights that go with these devices is really where Dell Software is working on securing the device wherever it is. We have this tagline we call connected security, and it doesn't matter what kind of device you're on. We're going to have this security that either manages the mobile device or the endpoint device and then also helps secure the information on it.
Taking this concept of continuous monitoring and take it 3 miles up the road here to DHS, they just recently awarded a $6 billion contract to move to a system of continuous monitoring. Well, they're recognizing it too, aren't they?
Enormous amount of money, and the contract that's been let is really an indication of how serious they are. The fact that it wasn't a single project, it's just a blanket agreement that allows them to start to tackle this problem. DHS is a wonderful a case study in how a disparate bureaucracy has to get a handle on all these different data sources to move away from this idea of perimeter protection and move to more predictive analytics, continuous data monitoring as a way of securing the assets that they have. But the assets that they have and the people that they have and the missions that they have are so diverse. That's one of the reasons the contract is so large.
Yeah, no one pair of shoes fits everyone. This isn't shoes. This is millions of different people changing all the time and attempting to work in a federal system. It's got to be a challenge, even with this little very flexible blank purchase agreement they have.
It's amazing to think what they're trying to accomplish and the diversity of mission. When we talk to some folks, some customers, they're really more office workers, and they are more interested in bureaucracy. You translate that to an armed service, maybe to the Coast Guard, maybe to people that are around the world, the State Department. The diversity of network connections, diversity of locations, the diversity of persistent connection to anything is an immense challenge for them. And it makes things like continuous data monitoring as a security protocol very, very challenging.
Let's take a break. When we get back, we talk more about identity management in the federal government. I want to talk about something persistent, something called an APT, Advanced Persistent Threat, and whether or not that's a code word for China. Isn't that interesting? You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Paul Chrisman, Vice President Public Sector at Dell Software. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Paul Chrisman, Vice President Public Sector at Dell Software. We're talking about identity management and some of the new breakthroughs in the last three or four months on what the federal government has been doing to respond to security threats as far as mobile devices gone. I think from the big picture, Paul, and you can maybe correct me on this, looks like they've gone from continuous diagnostic migration to, you know, there's another term in there with continuous, but more aggressively controlling what's going on in the network.
So I think network behavior is going to be one of those areas that intersects some technology, some emerging technology. What someone does on a network with whatever device that they have is being collected. It's being collected now. The question is, what do we do with that information? That's leading us to the intersection of big data analytics and predictive analytics, of which Dell Software has tools and consulting services that can help with it. But intersecting that big data analytics and predictive analytics with security. So we're collecting vast amounts of information about user behavior, where they're going, what websites they're going to. It can get very, very granular. And the amount of information that can be ingested into the predictive analytics security tools is absolutely fantastic. And then you've gotten to this continuous data monitoring, continuous user monitoring as another part of your security infrastructure.
And so we're looking at the growth of the cloud. We're looking at increased security concerns. And I think part and parcel of the move to the cloud is identity management. That's why the topic keeps, in so many different topics, keeps popping up. Mobile popping up. Agile software keeps popping up. Even SharePoint people keep talking about identity management. It's just is something that everyone's talking about.
It has to be the foundation to whatever application you're building. If you don't know who your users are and you don't know what rights to information you should grant them or what privileges you should give them, it's very hard to build a high-value application. I mean, the only thing you'd be able to do is to build a publicly facing website where all the information is generic. Not much value there. So identity has to be the foundation of any app that you build, and it is becoming very, very challenging. And the transformation that we touched on in the first segment about controlling the perimeter rather than controlling the identity of the individual is really what's happening now. As we build applications that are cloud-aware, cloud-integrated, the idea of identity management in the cloud or identity management with mobile devices is really changing what needs to be controlled.
And we've all read the books and listened to surveys and seen the reports. Well, the cloud allows an agency to scale. Okay, that saves money. Well, that's good. And everyone knows, you pick up the Washington Post, the government spends a whole lot of money, and how can we save money? The cloud, great. Well, if there's not a system involved in identity management, it can almost put handcuffs on this ability to scale, which is validates the cloud.
Yeah, and you have to start with what you have. And agencies for the last decade or so have been working on reducing their identity stores, however they manage their internal identities. That's going to be the foundation for pretty much anything that gets built for cloud readiness. You can't scrap everything and start over. So the challenge right now is to move from internal identity management, usually on Microsoft Active Directory, and then move that into how do you make this function in a hybrid world where part of your application or data set may be in the cloud. Maybe this is a transactional application that you're being that you're building that connects several agencies, so there isn't one single common directory. And that's where we see the technology shift moving away from internal administration, which the government needs to do, and it needs to continue to do at a very efficient, cost-effective way, but moving into this idea of cross-credentialing or trusted identities. And some of the advances and some of the regulations and recommendations from NIST lately have been really moving towards this idea of credentials and trusted identities outside of the boundaries of the particular agencies that you're working with.
I was at an event 2 weeks ago, a Carisoft event, and I was talking to a bunch of CIOs. Hey, they want it off their plate. they really don't want this. It's like, no.
It's a chore. It really is an expense. And as I mentioned a second ago, the work needs to be done. We need to do it effectively, efficiently, and the only way we can do it economically is through automation. And I keep on coming back to software is going to be that tool that helps us do these things in a cost-effective manner. Identity management is a chore. It's an expense. It's not necessarily the application outcome that you want. It's not a service to a constituent. It's not a service between agencies. It's an underlying fundamental technology. And as such, it needs to be done as efficiently and cost-effectively as possible. And that just spells software for automation.
5 o'clock this morning, I was on my computer and I typed in identity management, federal government, and up pops DHS, OMB, and NIST. Mm-hmm. And now there are listeners who know all these acronyms, and pretty much people know what NIST is and OMB, but there's a lot of acronyms within that. But in 2012, DHS came up with a policy for continuous monitoring. In just here, November 2013, OMB comes up with another policy for continuous monitoring. It sure seems like they're trying to herd the agencies into this, and I think agencies are very responsible, and they want to know exactly what they're getting themselves into because they feel, you know, believe it or not, I told you this before the show, my listeners feel personally responsible for this stuff. I mean, they're almost like little babies. It's like, you know, it's like when my wife had the babies at home. It's like, this is their baby and no one's going to. And so it's so emotional, isn't it?
It's something that our customers take very, very personally. I think there's a mission and a calling. And I've sat with customers who have had a data breach. I've sat with customers who've had an inappropriate release of information. And you can see it on their faces that this pains them personally, it pains them emotionally. They do take this very seriously. It's a calling, it's a mission, it's a public service, and it's not just, oh, geez, this is my job from 9 to 5. That commitment to the mission, we try and match. We try and have that same level of commitment and understanding that this is serious stuff. Commerce is one thing, but national security is another. And that's where people do get emotionally invested. And I think it's right, because the information that they protect is either our own national security or it's the information that our constituents have entrusted to the public sector institutions. And that trust is something that they don't want to breach.
Here we are in December. People could be listening to this when pitchers and catchers report in the spring. And they're maybe thinking, they're listening in Topeka and they're listening to the show online. You're thinking about something called NSTIC and regular citizen identification. But there's internal, external concerns. So let's talk about internal concerns. There are some key acronyms that some of my listeners know, some may not know, that involved internal identity management. One is FICAM, FICAM. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can explain that for us and maybe our listeners get a deeper knowledge of what it is.
Yeah, this is where we get into the acronym soup. The FICAM was a federal standard for identity and access management. The idea really is to describe how we control user access to information. The interesting thing about FICAM is it was closely followed on by SICAM, which was the state level version. So your listeners in Topeka can feel comfortable that the folks in Kansas have tried to model and mirror what would be appropriate and to take away from the federal standards what's appropriate at the state or local level. And that starts to create some interoperability between the organizations that are collecting information or consuming information at the local level that have to share it with the federals. It also enables things like first responder coordination, law enforcement coordination, understanding what these things are, CJIS regulations from local law enforcement up to federal law enforcement agencies. it all has to do with who you are. Is that identity trusted? And if so, how quickly can you gain access to information? Maybe it's in a situational, a tactical situation that needs immediate access to information because it's a public safety concern.
I go to NIST all the time. I like to go up there and set my watch, make sure I know what time it is accurately.
Within the millisecond.
Yeah. I was once speaking up there, and they gave me a clock. It's really a prized possession of my home because that clock's never wrong. It's a great clock. NIST is involved in so many different areas of standards. I mean, it's really internationally known. And they are working with this concept of identity management as well, aren't they?
Yeah. And NIST is doing great work to set out standards. If you talk to agencies who are trying to adhere to these standards, and if you really talk to folks at NIST, they realize that there is no way for one agency to be 100% compliant with every single standard. If they were, I don't think that any work would get done other than compliance with the standards. The ideas that NIST has and the value that they bring, which is immense, is to try and give people guideposts to understand if they're going to tackle this particular issue or that particular issue, that there is a set of frameworks for looking at the problem in a consistent way. And just having the framework of looking at the problem in a consistent way often speeds time to resolution and speeds the time to a solution that gets more people talking in a consistent fashion. So they do fantastic work. They move the guideposts for our agencies to follow. And they try to be responsive to transformations in the technology world. And some of the things we were talking about at the break, moving away from the internal identity administration in FICAM and SICAM and moving to things like NSTIC, which is another acronym about trusted identities in cyberspace.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about NSTIC and NIST, and talk about identity management and see if we have some insights from Paul on helping out our listeners maybe understand what's going to come up the next few years in this topic. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Paul Christman, Vice President, Public Sector at Dell Software. Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Paul Christman, Vice President, Public Sector at Dell Software. And we're talking about identity management and security, continuous monitoring, a lot of topics that are very, very popular today. And what is popular is blogging. And I'll blog about this interview. Name my blog is Tech Tuesday Blog. And you can fire up your computer and read it. And all my previous guests are on there. And it's kind of fun. You get a picture of them in the studio. And you go, oh, so that's what that guy looks like, you know. And it's interesting because I get a lot of reactions from people. Oh, I didn't realize that guy was so huge. And I mean,
I had a guy
that looked like a football player here last week. He was as big as a door. And he's just like, wow, he's a huge, big guy. But he has very precise, articulate voice. What about blogging? Do you blog? Is there a blog you can suggest for our listeners to read, maybe to keep up with continuous monitoring, identity management, maybe even Dell Software?
Yeah, and John, my blogs have really been incorporated back into the Dell organization. So most of the postings that I do are for internal usage and also occasionally for public usage, but it really goes back through the Dell website where we have communities and affinity groups there. So that's where my blogs get posted. I don't have my own private blog. I'm sort of not entitled to have an individual idea right now. As part of a large organization, I think there's a large amount of coordination that happens between all the people that are speaking. So we have a single voice. We have an approach and a strategy. So if folks want to hear my latest ideas and thoughts, we can converse either through Twitter or we can converse through the Dell blogs and the communities there.
Or old-fashioned face-to-face at an event, isn't that?
Email works fine, too.
Yeah, that's great. When I was preparing for this interview, I looked at DHS, and I was at the Brookings Institution 2 weeks ago, and there's this woman named Suzanne there, and she gave this talk, and I took notes, and I thought she's more political than, I don't know if she could pick out a computer in a room, but I'm sure she could. And then I stumbled on this thing called FCCX, and apparently this is an initiative that's recently been funded, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to take the burden of identity management off of civilian agencies and come up with a suggested way and have it evaluated by GSA and NIST, and then 12 months from now, they can make a transition. So my question to you is this something significant? Is this a blip? Is this a test? Or what exactly is this FCCX thing?
Well, I think it's the next wave going forward. And I think the idea that we've been talking about is really this idea of your identity. We have this strong desire to enable commerce or transactions, and not just money transactions, but interactions in cyberspace. And the ability to do this with a trusted identity that is agreed to be secure and perform this function is really, really important. If we think in the physical world, most people would agree that a driver's license is an acceptable form of proof of identification. We don't have any corollary to that in the cyber world. And this concern about Big Brother and someone's got my identity and what are they going to do with it, all of those protections and all of those technical issues are trying to be tackled either through FCCX or through NSTIC. And it's the idea of getting to trusted identities when you have never had an interaction with the person. Who's the credentialing organization? How is it delivered? How is that information used? So it's all about identity management, but it's in a very, very public sort of marketplace that is going to enable the next wave of applications in the cloud and on the web.
We had the CIO of the IRS in the studio here about 6 months ago. And, you know, as I'm listening to your response, I'm thinking about IRS identity. Well, that is a big concern at the IRS, isn't it? Well, yes, because we file electronically every year. I hope I'm not filing for some other guy named Gilroy in Iowa or something. And what it seems to me is that this agency has had to maybe do its own homegrown system of identity management that sure seems to work.
And I think that the challenge you've got is the level of instantaneous recognition of the identity. Electronic filing is asynchronous. You submit the filing, it goes for processing, and then something comes back. But you're not expecting that to be real time. You're not supposed to file your taxes electronically and see a real time evaluation of your tax returns and then a real time deposit into your bank account or a debit from your bank account, unfortunately, most of us. The idea is that NSTIC and F6 is really going to move into this idea of real-time identity credentialing and validation.
And so what impact do you think these DSH initiatives will have, the OMB initiatives? Is IRS going to have to comply with these? Or where do they fit in this whole landscape of identity management in the federal government?
Yeah, I think the example for identity management for an IRS filing, we don't need to have it be real-time. I think there are other things that do need to be real time. Again, commerce is something that we'd like to be able to do in real time. We'd like to validate that our orders are processed. We'd like to validate that our information has been used and our identity has been agreed to and has been properly processed. This is the future. We're not there now. We're sort of the crawl, walk, run. We've got to get our own internal house in order, and then we can move to the public sphere. I think you're going to see sort of parallels to olden days of email. Email now, the expectation is I should be able to send an email to anybody in the world instantaneously if I've got their email address. And that takes a fantastic amount of technology to have instantaneous mail delivery. The idea now is we should be able to have instantaneous trusted interactions with other people. That's going to take some time. I can still remember the day when if you didn't have a trust identity established between two organizations, you couldn't send email between them because there was no trusted bridge. Now we sort of come to an agreement on how those trusted bridges work for something as simple as email transmission. But the idea of a trusted identity is going to move into that less point-to-point and more general standards. And that's where this the work being done by NIST and the validation by GSA and the pilot projects being done by GSA really going to prove out that this is going to be possible.
I normally don't go in this direction, but I have to ask about the 500-pound elephant in the room is with the IRS identification and healthcare.gov. I'm wondering if this is one of the problems is this concept you just talked about is instant identification and then relaying that information to someone else. I mean, this isn't just a turn a switch on, off type thing. This is a pretty complex problem.
It's a tremendously complex problem, and we recognize the challenge that something like healthcare.gov would have from an architecture perspective and a user acceptance perspective to be able to incorporate a whole series of data inputs and instantaneously validate not only the identity of the individual, but also quickly, in real time, develop a profile on what they're entitled to and adjust pricing and subsidies on the fly. That might have been a bridge too far for Rev 1, and we look at that and say architecture on identity needs to be one of the foundational issues. And we at Dell Software weren't involved in that project, but we look at it as a prime example of identity as the foundation and start with identity as something that needs to enable the rest of the application. It's a proof point for us, but it will get worked out. It will get improved. It will eventually work the way it was intended to work. But Rev 1 probably was a fairly ambitious project.
There's a company not far from Shaker Heights, Ohio. It's called Progressive Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law was an executive there for 20 years. And Progressive Insurance, the old listeners know that it was nothing. All of a sudden, it's a big dog now. And they accomplished a whole lot. But the system they have, they didn't snap a finger and figure out how to do automobile insurance, you know, overnight. This took decades of really bringing in top talent, bringing in Ivy League brains and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And guess what? They failed and picked – and Peter B. Lewis failed and started again. He failed and started again, and they figured it out. And you look at – you look Bezos, Amazon. Was his first version great? Steven Jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times did he fail? He could write a book on failure. It just – this is so complex. I don't know if the people in Ohio or Topeka realize what's going on here.
Well, it's an immense amount of work, and John and I were sharing at the break the fact that we share common roots to the great Buckeye State.
Ohio State University Buckeyes, yes.
We have many, many, many shared roots. The idea of iterative and incremental component-based solutions, I think, is very attractive. This idea of a big bang, it becomes a challenge. We use that actually as a hallmark for what Dell Software does, which is it's a component-based, iterative idea of implementing portions of identity and access management. If you wait for perfection and have to have every problem solved on day one launch day, it's gonna fail. And we've talked to quite a few customers now who have been investing enormous amounts of time and money on the big bang, and what they found is it needs to be more component-based, more collaborative, and more connective to what they already have.
We'll take a break and come back, talk more about identity management. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guest is Paul Christman, Vice President, Public Sector at Dell Software. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Paul Christman, Vice President, Public Sector at Dell Software. We've spent the previous part of the show talking about identity management, continuous monitoring, some of the policies and some of the projects the federal government has had in this area and where Dell fits in. And some of my listeners read blogs. Some of my listeners are involved in the world of Twitter. If you want to follow me, you follow me at Ray Gilray. Do you have a Twitter handle, or what's the Twitter handle for Dell?
So the handle for me is Paul E. Christman. Paul E. is an Edward Christman. That's my Twitter handle.
C-H-R-I-S-T. Uh-huh.
Christman.
So they can follow you there. That's great. You know, some of the people listening to the show, and I get these emails after the show, and especially with security people, they ask, well, what kind of phone does he have? And especially with security people. And I had a woman on, Terry Gooditis, and she didn't want her picture taken, and my picture's not available on the internet, and people and they wanted to know what kind of phone she had.
Right.
And so we have this little 10-question scientific test that I ask every guest to find out what level of nerdosity they are. If they're like David Pogue and you, maybe a pretty high-level nerd, maybe a nerd wannabe, maybe in the cool guy section. That's the continuum here, cool guy or nerd. So I'm going to just throw these right at you. So we go over your house this afternoon. We look for desktops. How many old-fashioned desktops have you floating around your house?
I have no desktops. I have all laptops.
Oh, that's
they're
the right
portable
answer.
Machines.
Okay.
I've actually cycled through a whole bunch of them, and if you thought about how many active devices I have on my home network – mobile devices and tablets outnumber laptops.
Ooh, home network. That's a nerd phrase, just those two words itself. In the last year, how many cell phones have you purchased?
For my family, I've purchased four.
Four, okay, okay. That's a good answer.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how many upgrades
I did. Yeah, they change so fast,
yeah.
And do you have a personal Twitter feed? Yes, you gave it earlier. Do you have a personal blog?
Through Dell.
Through Dell, you can do that. And do you use any online personal backup services?
I don't, because I'm going to get a little geeky here. My home network actually has about 2 terabytes of network attached storage.
Nerd alert.
So I back up. I back up all my devices back through my network attached storage. One of my challenges now is to find a cloud provider that's going to back up my network backup.
So back up to the backup. Now that's heavy nerd. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I can tell you right now that I just purchased a new Android smartphone.
Ooh, a security guy with an Android. That's interesting. And how many of those apps have you used in the last 30 days?
I have gone through the painful process of weeding out my old Android phone and putting all the new ones on my new Android phone. I think I'm up to 16 or 17. Hmm. If I looked at the apps that are on my phone, many of them are actually connecting me into corporate assets, which is really, really great. So, for instance, I can submit, create, approve expense reports from my mobile phone. I can capture receipts and scan receipts on my mobile phone. That's a fantastic technology that Dell is put in place that recognizes, well, if you're submitting an expense report, you're likely on the road. And being on the road means you should have
one this. One is two. Yeah, makes sense.
So there's so many things I can do now from my phone that drive through my credentials.
You know, it is. I do keep thinking of Dell and ordering a laptop computer, calling the 800 number.
Please keep on doing that, by the way.
I keep thinking of that. But really, Dell, this is an indication that it is a software company. It says, no, you know, our people are out in the field and they're going to have their phones with them, and this is how they can do things efficiently and on time. That's good. Another question. How many tablet devices do you have at home?
That's an interesting question. We're going through a bit of an evaluation in my family. And there's only 4 of us in the family, by the way, and my son is off at school. So between the 4 of us, we actually have an old iPad. We have a new Dell Venue tablet, which is a fantastic device. And then we also have Microsoft Surface tablets. And
That's an interesting distribution.
It's an interesting distribution, and I'm been spending a lot of time trying to figure out and make distinctions between who's using which device and why, and people are gravitating towards the different devices. I gravitate towards the Dell device. My daughter, who's in high school, gravitates towards the Surface, and my wife gravitates towards the iPad.
Now, I would like to see a blog post on that. I think that's what a lot of regular people would like to know, is that here's a typical maybe wired family, as we used to call it, and what they use and why. What social networking sites you participate in?
I'm on Facebook. Okay. Facebook for me is more of a social situation. I keep in touch with old friends, friends who have moved to various parts of the world. Most of my business work, most of my professional stuff is done through LinkedIn. And
me too. I use Facebook for foreigners. You know, I mean, it's so easy. It's just, it's the time difference and everything else. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Oh, geez. I'm a fan of short stories more than books. My wife actually caught me reading a book.
O. Henry time in short stories. This is book. What was the last book you read, buddy? Electronic or paper? Feet to the fire. You must answer. You can get docked points.
It'd probably have to be Tipping Point, and that's probably going back a couple of years.
Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah. Because it ends in paper, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you have a mixed bag here. It's going to be hard for me to grade this report here, but I'll put it through my UNIVAC computer in my basement and print out something on a green bar and put it in U.S. mail to you. We had a guest in here a while back, and they had a product that allowed for hardware identification with cell phones. And because people are getting away from passwords. Is this where this whole identity management, is it going to be biometric? Is it going to be getting away from passwords themselves? Or I don't know how many passwords I have, by the way.
And you bring up a really good point. Passwords by themselves are probably the root of a lot of our problems. And if we can get away from passwords, moving to things that are at least two-factor authentication, a two-factor authentication, for those who don't know, is probably something you know, which is usually a password, and then something you have or something you are. You could look at this and say biometrics, fingerprints, iris scanning, whatever else, facial recognition is another part of this puzzle. But it could also be a soft token. It could be a credential certificate that you have. It could be in the federal space something like a CAC card or a PIV card. So we're moving away from simple one-factor authentication, username and password, which is easily breached, to two-factor, and in very, very secure situations, it could move into 3- or 4-factor authentication. The amount of effort that goes into password management, the cost that goes into managing passwords is astronomical, and their security value is actually fairly low. So we need to move away from that. I have a file that I won't tell you where of 50 or 60 passwords for various websites, and it would be immensely helpful if I could get that down to a few. I'm never going to get it to one, but I'd like to get it to a few. And we talk about that in software solutions for Dell. We talk about reduced sign-on rather than single sign-on. Single sign-on's been the holy grail. Nobody's been able to get there. But reduced sign-on in terms of user productivity and IT administration costs is absolutely fantastic. And for the consumer to be able to have a reduced number of identities that are used in various places that become readily accepted by various people and organizations is absolutely what's in the future for us.
So that's what you see in a crystal ball in the future? Do you see a move away from passwords into something biometric? I mean, is that where you see the system in 4 or 5 years?
I see the intersection of the mobile device and the soft token as a way to get to stronger security. Biometrics creates its own problem of what's the device you use for biometric. The idea of saying, oh, geez, my iris scanner's not working or my phone isn't working or something like that to scan my face, I think that introduces more complexity. Soft tokens, the idea of having a token on your smartphone or on your laptop or someplace, the idea of having software tokens that would create a secondary validation and verification, I think that's probably where we're going. Stronger security, a lot more security on the mobile device, so that if you do lose your mobile device, it can be remotely wiped. I think that's going to be in our future. It's going to be something that, again, the federal government's going to look at. The telecommunications providers and the handset providers are going to look at. But we as software companies are going to look at doing this. So let's say I lose my cell phone as I walk out the studio today. I can find a way of getting in touch with my IT staff. My IT staff can remotely wipe the phone. That prevents an awful lot of security risk. That sort of functionality is going to become accepted and commonplace in the future.
Is Dell moving in the area of healthcare IT, or are they already big players in that area?
Big players in that area, and the delivery of healthcare value for Dell, Big Dell, not the software organization, is fantastic. Storing clinical records in the cloud is a huge effort for Dell, and we as a company are I believe the world's largest repository of clinical data records in a public cloud.
Wow.
And you wouldn't know that thinking about Dell as your old-fashioned
Dell. Jeopardy question.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic delivery of technology to frontline healthcare workers to make information more accessible to both doctors and patients to improve patient outcomes. It's a fantastic solution that we have.
And it looks like that's where everything's going to intersect: identity management, security, healthcare. It seems like those three topics, I could do a weekly show on those three topics for the next 2 years, because this seems to be where all the focus is on not only the federal government, but every United States. It's just it's something we can't even walk away from.
I think that the idea of security also needs to be woven back into privacy, and that's the other side of the coin. I was at a customer briefing yesterday, and we were talking about that patient identifiable information, how you protect that, how do you make it available, how you make it secure, how do you make it comply with all the regulations, and who's responsible for that. I think patients and consumers of healthcare are going to become more IT savvy when they realize that their health records are under their control.
That's a good point. Let's end the interview here. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Paul Crispin, Vice President, Public Sector at Dell Software. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.